I'd like to welcome. Okay, thanks, Daniel. I'd like to welcome everybody back. This is our fifth session in the series of workshops on 12 tradition. In response to our recent needs assessment, we have organized these sessions and hope to continue to do it once per month to cover each tradition over a course of 12 months. We say we hope because this depends on how it is received and attended. So please tell your friends, your home groups, and sponsees or sponsor to join us here each month. We plan to be consistent, do this on the fourth Thursday of each month, except for coming up November and December due to the holidays. We're going to be doing that on the third Thursday of each month. So remember in November, and it'll be posted in November, it's going to be the 20th, and that'll be the third Thursday. So mark that on your calendar so you don't forget. And then let's open this meeting with a moment of silence for the sick and suffering addict, followed by a serenity prayer. Feel free to unmute if you'd like. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay. Can I have somebody read the 12 traditions that's on the screen? Okay.
I'm an addict named Joe.
Hey, Joe.
We keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group might never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles over personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise, communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thank you, Joe. Ed, would you like to read the excerpt out of It Works How and Why that's on the screen there on the fifth edition?
My name's Ed. I'm an addict.
Ed?
Tradition five. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. There are many ways in which groups can further our primary purpose. Generally speaking, group members start by creating an atmosphere of recovery in their meetings. This includes extending a welcome to every addict who attends. Stable meetings that start on time carry a message of recovery. Effective meetings formats keep the primary purpose in focus and encourages members to participate in a way that expresses recovery. We lead by example, sharing experience instead of advice. Group members help further our primary purpose when they take personal responsibility for keeping the meeting recovery orientated. All of our actions convey a message, and Tradition 5 reminds us to make it a message of recovery. Tradition 5, it works how and why.
Thank you, Ed, for reading that. And then would somebody from We Do Recover group, would you like to unmute and read the excerpt from the guiding principles on the screen?
This is Danielle, and I'm in recovery.
Hi there.
Our message is the heart of Narcotics Anonymous. Everything we do, everything that matters to us as a fellowship, comes back to our simple message of hope and freedom, that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. No one is too sick or too well, too rich or too poor, too far gone or too far away to qualify. It is available to us all. Carrying the message is what matters. We see it in our meetings when an empty room is transformed into an atmosphere of warmth and empathy. We see it when members generously give of their time and themselves to serve. We see it when we set aside our personal differences or interests to reach out to a suffering addict. Many of us, in moments of distress, have been told to go help somebody. Reaching out breaks the bonds of self-obsession and frees us to see ourselves and our world from a new perspective. In our hope for each other, we find hope for ourselves. So many of us were seeking freedom when we started using. We were looking for a way out of our feelings, our responsibilities, and our lives. The freedom we find in NA is different from that. The 12 steps bring us freedom from obsessive thought and compulsive action. Our fellowship brings us freedom from isolation. We are free to become exactly who we are and to find a sense of fulfillment in our lives, whatever that means for us. We are set free to love and to care, to hope and to hurt, to reach out and to grow no matter where we are in our recovery. The ability to grow spiritually enables us to find freedom even within the walls of a cell. Our greatest freedom is not outside ourselves, but within. That hope and freedom drive us through our brightest days and our darkest suffering. Staying connected reminds us that there is always more to be done and always more being done. We often speak of the addict with 2 days clean, telling the addict with 1 day clean, it works. As we stay clean, we also have the experience of the addict with 2 days clean, showing the addict with 10 years clean that it works. We never know where our message of hope will come from. Keeping our primary purpose allows us all to carry the message and gives us, each of us, the ability to hear it. Our unity is possible because our message is clear. We are not confused about why we are here, and we can set our differences aside and do that one thing. Our traditions help us see what is important and some of the ways we lose sight of that. Many of us have found additional rewards from places outside of the rooms of NA, but none of that is what we come to NA to share. We are here to share the simple truth about our recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. The steps help us to peel away the lies and pain that distract us from the truth. When our meetings and honest are true, when the atmosphere of recovery in our group is safe and welcoming, when every addict who comes in the door is met with dignity and empathy, our message is more powerful than words.
Thanks.
Thanks, Daniel. Thank you very much. That was awesome. All right. This is just a rundown. This is a 90-minute session, and we will have our speaker share her experience, strength, and hope with Tradition 5 for about 20 or 30 minutes. After she's done sharing, we will open the meeting for others to share. You can share on your experience, or if you have any questions you want to put out there in the group, you can type it out there, or you can raise your hand and answer the ask the question. You may also share them or put them in the chat. Maybe someone else can share their experience, strength, and hope on that in response. Remember, part of sharing is sharing the time. So please be mindful and keep your sharing about 3 to 5 minutes so everybody in here gets an opportunity to share. All right. So let's see. At this point, it says we're going to introduce our speaker, and I'm really happy that our speaker's here. And when we started doing this workshop, she came to my mind immediately, and I think I reached out to her, and we was probably on tradition 2, and we was filling up. So I was really excited to get Ava here. You know, I met Ava in the international Zoom meeting, and I had the opportunity to go through a workshop with her and then shared meeting there for a while, which was awesome experience. And I did see a lot of people get clean on the screen, get clean on the screen, you know, and every time I've seen Ava around now since then, and always recognize her and always make it a point to go give her a hug. And she always has a smile, and she's got a passion for Narcotics Anonymous. I see her everywhere in Narcotics Anonymous. So I'm sure she's going to have an excellent message to share on our fifth tradition. And I'm going to introduce you to Ava from California.
Thank you, Wayne. I hope I can live up to that introduction. My name is Ava, and I'm an addict. And you know what? Actually, yes, you did start chasing me around tradition 2. And I held out because I wanted tradition 5. I was traveling. It wasn't like I did it on purpose. The fifth tradition is one of my favorite ones, right? I think that I'll just tell you that I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous, whether it be on Zoom or in person or whatever. I love NA and the fact that I have a fellowship that's allowed me to be clean since March 2nd, 1993, right? I have one clean date. And I will tell you that everything that I am, who I am, how I do things, everything about who I am, is a direct result of being in Narcotics Anonymous. And so what I'll tell you, I want to thank you guys that have your cameras on, even though the ladies over there, we do recover. It's like sitting and looking at you guys in the dark, but it's okay. Like, I remember going to a meeting one time, being invited to chair at a meeting, and there were 34 people in the room and only like 3 people had their cameras on. And I felt like I had been invited to dinner and nobody came to the table. Like, where is everybody? So thank you for having your cameras on. I appreciate you. Because for me, it's always about the people and the connection, right? It's always about, and I need to have that with people that I see and I come into contact with. So tradition 5, man, carrying the message. I'm really glad that you guys read from the Guiding Principles book. That's like an amazing piece of literature, right? And one of the reasons why I love it, especially in tradition work, is because it addresses all areas of our lives in addiction. As a member of Narcotics Anonymous, in a group of Narcotics Anonymous, and in service, right? And so it like covers everything. And so, because I don't know about you, but I'm an addict that's looking for a loophole. You know, I want to find the loophole that I can go through that doesn't, like, I can skip out and not do stuff. And so that book covers everything, right? I highlighted a couple things when she read the excerpt for Tradition Five, which was basically the whole, the beginning of Tradition Five. The very last sentence in the paragraph, last paragraph, it says, when our meetings are honest and true, when the atmosphere of recovery in our group is safe and welcoming, when every addict who comes to the door is met with dignity and empathy, our message and powerful, our message is more powerful than words, right? And I think that I'm sure that we have all experienced the magic of Narcotics Anonymous, and it comes in a meeting. You know, it's like I wanted to stay because of the people that carried the message, you know, and not the mess. And it's like it's so you know, the message of hope and freedom for sure. It's like I needed to know that I could stay clean. And I still remember my first meeting like it was yesterday, you know, and the fact that I didn't want to stay because there was nobody that looked like me in that meeting. One of the things that when I was reading through, I always try to like go over the literature. And in fact, the Guiding Principles was the book that I chose to look at and talk to for this meeting, and because it just covers everything, right? And so one of the things that it talked about was consistency, right? And so in the book where it talks about the spiritual principles that are in this tradition, there's a whole lot of them. I won't go through all of them, but one of the ones that they talked about was consistency. And it says, consistency is a spiritual principle that keeps us doing what we do. It begins with the refrain, keep coming back. Coming to meetings regularly helps us stay clean, and it ca also carries the message of hope. We keep coming back because it works. The group depends on its members, and the members depend on the group being true to its purpose. Showing up consistently, sharing honestly, and treating others with respect all further our primary purpose. A consistent message is powerful. When our actions and our messages are clear and consistent, our groups cannot fail, right? And so I live in California. I live in Northern California. What I'll tell you is that, and I always tell people this, so please don't think I'm corny when I say this. I feel really lucky to be an addict in Northern California. I go to Southern California often. One of my favorite conventions is the San Fernando Valley convention that happens in January. And the reason why it's my favorite is because it's a convention that started where it all began, right? And so I love the fact that I come from a sponsorship family that is very heavy in tradition. Like a lot of there's a lot of clean time in California. My sponsor has 43 years clean. Her sponsor has 46 years clean. I'm going to a celebration this weekend where some members have 56 and 57 years clean. So there's a lot of clean time here, you know. And one of the things about being in a family, a sponsorship family where there's a lot of clean time is you don't get away with anything. They see everything you do, right? And they call you out. I don't know how it is back there, but here, if they see you doing something or acting up or whatever, they call you on it. Like, if you're lucky, you don't get embarrassed, you know. So I'm really grateful that sometimes they don't always like call me out in front of people, but I'm grateful because I've learned how to act in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Like I learned how to respect traditions. I learned how to carry myself in the meeting. This is what I know about the fifth tradition, more so than it's more than just carrying the message to the addict who suffers, because carrying the message is happens in more ways than just words. It's in my behavior, right? Like I don't even know. I didn't even realize. I'll tell you a little story about. I have a personalized license plate. And this is the third one that I've had that's had a spiritual principle on it. So the first one I had honesty on it. And so I won't even tell you. It's like when people see that you have things on your license plate, they nail you to the wall about it, right? Like they'll look, it's almost like they look for you to do something to tell a lie. So The one I have life sermon. And so grateful for the most part that I have that on my license plate because it stops me from doing a lot of stupid stuff. Like doing illegal U-turns in the middle of the street, right? I don't think that I want to explain to the officer with discernment on my license plate how I didn't use my discernment when I made that illegal turn, right? So just what I'll tell you is that it stops me. It gives me pause in a lot of different situations, right? And I never realized that until one day one of my sponsees said, I bet you that stops you from doing some stuff, right? Because it never fails. Whenever you get caught doing something, there's a whole bunch of addicts around, right? Like they always catch you doing stuff, right? Like at the casino, you go to the casino wearing an NA shirt, you sit next to another addict, right? But anyway, because of Narcotics Anonymous, I mentioned to you that it is the reason why I am who I am. When I think about traditions, not just this one, but any of them, they help me live better. Like as a result of the traditions, there's spiritual principles that come along with it, and the principles that the spiritual principles that come along with it are all in place. Like they help me live a better life, right? And I said I wasn't going to mention that. I'll mention a couple of them, like integrity, commitment, open-mindedness, vigilance, hope, responsibility, empathy, surrender, passion, unity, service, fidelity, compassion, anonymity, purpose. Consistency and security. That's a lot of spiritual principles to help you live, right? Like integrity, just like living in my integrity and helping me to stay right-sized, right? Like Narcotics Anonymous, you know, something as simple as, you know, like when you're new, I never realized when I was new how deep-rooted traditions were and what it meant, you know, and how just the fifth tradition talking about carrying the message to the addict that still suffers. But it also talks about, you know, it's also tradition five is connected to step 12, right? Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps, right? And having going through all of that, now you can like carry the message to the addict who still suffers. So they're connected, you know, and how I show up to carry the message is important. Like, I think it's important, the messages that we give our newcomers even. You know, it's like I love the there was a saying, and I don't hear it so much anymore. It just depends on who's in the meeting. Sometimes when you're in a meeting with a whole bunch of old timers, they'll say stuff like, if you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Like, what do you mean don't do nothing? Right? You have to do something, you know, even if the something is go ask somebody how to do it. You know, and so one of the things that I love about Narcotics Anonymous and, you know, and the message that I carry, it's like I try to tell people, like, when I was new, I had to have it make sense. It couldn't, don't tell me some off the wall saying and then don't explain it, right? Like, I wanted to know, like, how is it that you guys, like, stay clean and don't use anything for long periods of time and like, how does that work? And so I read the little blurb about consistency, right? Like showing up on a regular basis all the time, day in, day out, even when I don't want to, even when it feels like this isn't working. This is what I know. When I use the evidence that exists in Narcotics Anonymous, there is no way that I can say that this program doesn't work, right? First of all, Narcotics Anonymous has been around since 1953. That's a long time. And it works the same way today as it did then, right? What changes are the names of the faces of the people that come through, right? But the steps, the traditions, the principles, the concepts of service, they're all the same. And they still exist and work the same way, you know? And so when I talk to my sponsor about, when I look at like our sponsorship family and the people that have been clean, as a result of, it's pretty amazing. It's like, the evidence is there. Like, how can I say it doesn't work when I'm looking at all these people that have all this clean time? And I remember when I first got clean, You know, I'm Black and Filipino and I look Puerto Rican and I never knew where I fit, right? And so I got loaded a long time because it just I never fit anywhere, right? And I remember going to a meeting and asking my sponsor at the time if Black people recover. She said, why are you asking that question? I said, because I don't see any. And so, and I didn't see any Asians either, right? I really didn't see any Asians. And so, and then I went to a meeting and I saw this woman. The funny part is, for all this time, for a lot of years, I thought that she was Japanese, but she's actually Korean. And it doesn't even matter because Terry's one of my good friends. And because of her, she's one of the reasons why I stayed, right? And that lady has 54 years clean today. Right, I've known her all of my recovery, all of my recovery, you know, and so, and I see her often, and so it's like there's a group of women. In fact, I'm going to see a lot of them on Sunday because I'm sharing at a women's brunch in our area, you know. And what an honor it is that I get to go and I get to share. You know, I've been around. I told you I did. I have one clean date. You know, I because of the people that came before me. Because of the people that came before me that carried the message, that were beacons of hope for me, that showed me how to do this, who continued to show up no matter what. They talked about what was going on. They showed me how this program works. I stayed clean, right? And so I always share this little crazy story. I always talk about long before I got clean, I had sponsors, right? When I didn't know how to get loaded, when I didn't know how to roll a joint, I went and found a sponsor who showed me how, right? They showed me how to roll a joint. They showed me how to put it in a box and roll the seeds out and do all that crazy stuff, right? And I got pretty good at it, you know? And so when I graduated and I started smoking crack and I didn't know how to make a pipe, then I found out that there were sponsors that could show me how to make pipes out of Gerber jars and antennas and stems and light bulbs and all kinds of crap. I got pretty good at that too, you know? And so in Narcotics Anonymous, when I want to learn how to live my life, let me go find some people who are doing it and let me ask them how. And so that's what I did. It's just that simple for me, you know? And so when I saw people, I'm talking about carrying the message and I watched how they lived. It was like, sometimes carrying, let me just watch what you do. I don't want to hear a whole bunch of, because sometimes it's this. You know, talking out of the side of your neck. And sometimes there's a whole lot of people in Narcotics Anonymous that do that too. And it's definitely visible in their behavior. Like there's definitely people in here that, not in here, but in Narcotics Anonymous that show me things that I want and things I don't want. You know, and so the same people that are in Narcotics Anonymous are the same people that I used with. And so I have to use discernment and pick and choose who I want to have in my circle and what it is that I want to have. Like I'm learning a lot of lessons. So when I'm talking about carrying the message, it's not just in what I say, it's in how I'm living, you know? And so I want to like emulate people who are doing the things that I want to do, you know? And so I'm looking always. It's like you always hear people talking about taking inventory. Well, I'm sorry, I take people's inventory. And not for the negative, you know, not for the negative. It's like I want to know who I have in my circle and who I'm following behind. I don't want to like be the Pied Piper and follow somebody in a ditch. You know, it's like I didn't get clean to have a mediocre life. I didn't. And so I want to like hang out with the people that are doing the stuff that I want to do so that I can have a better life, better than what I've had. You know, and so when I talk about carrying the message, it's a whole bunch of looking at how people are living, watching what they do, listening to what they say, because I want my audio and my video to match. That's important to me, right? And so there's a lot of I didn't come, you know, like I've done a lot of work here. You know, every one of the things that I wanted to talk about is carrying the message to our family members, right? Like, I have two children. I lost my son early in recovery. I had 7 years clean. And I'm really grateful for the addicts that came before me that could show me how to live through the loss of my son. I didn't get loaded, right? And my son was murdered by two dope fiends. And it was like one of the most life-changing, devastating events I ever went through. And as a result of that, like because there were addicts that talked about losing their children, I knew what to do when I came to meetings. I came to meetings and I talked about it. I came to meetings and I knew that, that I would be able to like get to the other side. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know how it was going to feel. I just knew that if I kept showing up and going to meetings, that somehow it would be revealed. And it was, it's been 25 years now, I lost my son. And what I'll tell you is don't leave before the miracle happens because you never know what the miracle is going to be. And I never knew what that miracle was going to look like or feel like or taste like, or I didn't know. I just knew that I needed to come to meetings. I needed to talk about it. I went to a murder trial. This kid who killed my son killed three people in 30 days. He was a little wannabe thug. He was 19 years old. He ran around town riding a bicycle. He had a Glock in his in the back of his pants. He was a wannabe drug dealer, wannabe pimp. He sold dope to his mom, And so it's like when I was sitting in the murder trial, it was like looking at all these things and thinking to myself, it's like one of the things that I understood more than anything when I was sitting there, as that his mother was just like me. His mother was just like me. And she had an addiction and she was still in it. She had a bunch of kids that she couldn't take care of. They were all in foster care. Did I understand and have compassion? Absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't condone what her son did, right? There's a fine line that I had to navigate, and one of the things that I realized in that process is that Narcotics Anonymous was going to allow me the opportunity to forgive this kid, right? And so I don't have a jail story, but I have an H&I story, And so what I'll tell you is because of the fifth tradition and people carrying the message, the hope I had was that I could get to the other side and not be this bitter. Ugh, I didn't want to be bitter. I didn't want to be ugly. I didn't want to like have resentments that I couldn't get on the other side of. And so what I'll tell you is that from that time until this time, it's been 25 years. And so what I've learned how to do is number one, forgive. I forgave that kid, right? Because I needed to go forward in my recovery, And so one of the ways that I forgave is I do H and I. And I didn't understand why I was doing H and I because I didn't have a jail story. It's like, why am I going to jail? Why am I going to these women's treatment facilities? Why am I doing carrying the message? I didn't understand why. I just my sponsors made a suggestion. She voluntold me for some stuff, right? And so I ended up doing some stuff because my sponsor said. And so anyway, I ended up doing H and I, and I would go to women's treatment facilities. And then one day I ended up in the women's jail, and I'm like, why am I over here? Right? Didn't understand it. I just kept carrying the message because that's what they told me to do. And so from that day to this, so what I do today, to this past Tuesday, I'll tell you that I'm a brown card holder and I am one of two women that carry Narcotics Anonymous meetings into San Quentin Prison, which is a men's facility that used to be the death row prison here in Northern California, right? And I do the first and third Tuesdays. I used to do every Tuesday right after the pandemic. I used to do every Tuesday. And what I'll tell you, if you don't think it's humbling being a woman walking across the yard at San Quentin, kind of scary, right? But I tell you what, I've been doing it now for a little while, and something happened on Tuesday, and maybe I'll get a chance to share it. But it was like what I know today is that I have forgiven because I asked myself the question, can I carry the life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous to a bunch of inmates who are in a prison who I know have killed people? Can I carry the message to them without judgment? And can I love on them as I'm carrying the message? And for the last 13 or 14 years I've been doing exactly that. Right. And so I know the evidence has shown me that Narcotics Anonymous works. I have no question whatsoever. None. Right. And so when I don't know how to do something here in Narcotics Anonymous, I go find somebody who's doing it and I ask them how. Right. And so everything I am is a direct result of this program. You know, when I think about like the fifth tradition, like all of the traditions show me how to live. It's like the third step prayer says, take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, show me how to live. So I come to a 12-step program. How dare I come to a 12-step program that has 12 steps, traditions, concepts of service, everything that I need to show me how to live and not learn how? Why would I waste my time when I was a dope fiend out there on the street? I learned about your dope, my dope, their dope, who's dope, all the dope. And I knew how and where to find it. So why wouldn't I do the same thing in recovery? Right? Why wouldn't I do the same? I want the best possible recovery that I could have. Right? And so, you know, it definitely has shown me how to live. Look at that little cute little baby. I love it. Right? I am so grateful that I have a blueprint to learn how to live my life. And that's what the traditions are to me. That's what the concepts of service are to me. That's what the step work. I'm so grateful that this program gave me step work to do so that I could learn about myself. I'm so grateful that Narcotics Anonymous, that Jimmy Kinnon had a vision and that he was smart enough to know that we needed some traditions to keep these crazy ass addicts all together and not running crazy. Like, only in Narcotics Anonymous can you go to the World Convention and have 30 or 40,000 addicts in one place and nobody fighting. Nobody went to jail, right? Like, could you imagine what that pandemonium would have been like if we were all using at the same time? Holy shit, right? Like, grateful, grateful. It's like, I'm grateful that Narcotics Anonymous has the concepts of service. We don't talk about that enough. Right. I'm glad that there's things in place that put all the things that could possibly go wrong in Narcotics Anonymous. We have Jimmy Kinnon addressed with the 12 steps, the 12 traditions and the concepts of service. Imagine that. Right. A whole blueprint on how to live your life. You know, and I'm so grateful for that because of that. Right. Like, I was the addict who couldn't leave the 4-block radius because it was too far from the dope. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't go from Sacramento to San Francisco because it was too far. It's 2 hours. It was too far from the dope, right? And so earlier this year, I traveled. I was telling Wayne that I travel now, right? I retired. I got laid off my last job in 2023. I refuse to work for another 30 or 40-something year old boss. I'd probably catch a case and go to jail, right? Like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I retired, right? And I've been traveling ever since. And so my goal in recovery, in retirement, is to travel to all the countries that I can and collect little white tags from all the countries that I visit, right? Like, I want a welcome key tag from all the countries that I go visit, you know? And so earlier this year, I visited 6 countries. I went to the Philippines, because that's where I was born. I went to a convention. I had the blessing of being able to speak at the convention in the Philippines. I went to the Maldives. I got to be a part of the first translation workshop in the Maldives for them to try to translate from English to Maldivian so that they could have key tags and pamphlets and literature in their language. I went with another addict and we did the first translation workshop there. And I'll tell you that I can't wait because they're getting ready to get their key tags printed. And I want to sit because I was a part of that, right? Like, who would have ever thought the addict who couldn't leave a 4-block radius? You know what I mean? And so I went from there. I went to Vietnam. I went to Cambodia. I went to Thailand, spoke at the convention in Thailand. And then on my way home, I stopped in Japan and I celebrated my 32nd year in recovery in Japan at a meeting that they spoke Japanese, not English. There were three people. It was so amazing, right? Like, I went to Japan. I chased the people. This is how that worked, right? Like, I went to the World Convention. I saw the whole delegation from Japan. I chased them all over the place. I never could catch up with them. I went to a meeting in New York, and I was celebrating with a friend of mine who was celebrating 22 years clean. I go to his celebration. The whole delegation from Japan is sitting in the meeting. So I got to meet them, and I got to ask them, you know, like, I'm coming to Japan in March, and so I really want to go to a meeting and celebrate my birthday in Japan. So I kept in touch with this guy. He set it up. There were a whole bunch of other people that were in Japan for the Tokyo Marathon, and they were people that were coming from Thailand going home. So there were like 15, 16 people that all met together on that day that I was celebrating. We ended up taking three van loads of addicts to this meeting that normally had three people. Every week there was the same three people in this meeting. We scared the shit out of them, right? Like, here we show up, a whole bunch of Americans, crazy ass Americans, right? We end up in this meeting, and I got to celebrate my 32nd year in Japan. Right. And so but I'll tell you that God totally orchestrated all of that. Right. I'm talking about carrying the message to the addict who still suffers, no matter what language, no matter what language. Right. And so the funny part was, they're so creative. It's like they gave me presents. I got a card in Japanese. I got all this stuff. They all signed it. I have wonderful memories of celebrating my birthday in Japan. And we had two pieces of cake that were about this big. They cut, one of those guys cut two pieces of cake that were this big into 17 pieces, and everybody got a piece. And so we got to celebrate in Japan, right? Like, only in Narcotics Anonymous can you do that, right? Like, and I got to come home, and I have a whole fellowship of people. Like, I go to New York a couple times a year. When I went earlier this year to the convention, what I realized is that I feel at home in New York. And so finally, I'm no longer a tourist in New York. I can drive. I can get tickets. I can do all kinds of stuff in New York. So I feel like I belong there. And I have a bunch of meetings that I go to all the time when I'm there. And so this guy came up to me and he goes, you know what? You're not a visitor anymore. You're a New Yorker, right? And so what a blessing. What a blessing. Because I was always the addict who wanted to fit in. And because of that little blurb about consistency, about keep coming back and showing up and doing this and what, like, because of the traditions that we have, because it all operates the same, I don't go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, since some of you guys are in Kansas. I don't go to a meeting someplace else and not have guidelines and stuff that govern the meetings in Narcotics Anonymous. It's the same, you know? And so I learned that no matter where I go, first of all, there I am, but no matter where I go in Narcotics Anonymous, I'm at home because of the traditions, the steps, the concepts of service, the guidelines that govern our meetings. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. So way beyond just carrying the message is being carried in so many different ways, right? It's not just because we read it out of a book. It's not just because, you know, somebody can tell you what the traditions are about. It's like, if people don't live it, we don't see it. We need addicts in the fellowship to live the traditions and the steps and the concepts of service. We need them to live by example, because if they don't live by example, we don't get to witness it. We don't get to see it. We don't get a sense of this program works, right? I need, don't talk to me. Don't talk about it, be about it. I want to see somebody doing it. I want to see somebody doing it, you know? And so it's really easy. It's really easy for addicts to carry the mess. We do it all the time, even when we don't even know, right? I need to see addicts that are living this program so they can show me how to do it. So I have continued hope. I needed to have addicts that had lost children still coming to the fellowship, still coming to meetings, still talking about the loss that they suffered. I needed to see addicts come in, talk about what they did so that I knew that I could have hope and that I could stay clean too, right? Without that, we don't have a fellowship. We don't have a fellowship, you know? And so it's like, we need to be, you know, there's a saying, we need to be the change we want to see in the world. We need to be the change. We need to be the steps and the traditions and the concepts of service. We need to show the newcomer that it works in all those ways, not just coming to meeting, because it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that, you know? And so I feel like I've been talking forever, Wayne. I'm tired of talking. Before I close out, I want to just read one more thing. And it's in the guiding principles on page 84. It says, when we live the program, we read the literature, listen to the readings, practice these principles, apply our traditions, we really don't have to worry too much about our message. Our recovery will speak for itself. And with that, I'm out. My name is Ava, and I'm an addict. Thanks.
Oh, that was awesome, Ava. You lived well up to it. I knew it would be. So I appreciate that, man. I'll tell you, you touched my heart in a lot of ways there. Thank you very much. You know, we will now open the meeting and hear from others. If you would like to share, please use the raise hand button on the bottom on the toolbar to recognize to speak. I want to remind everybody to be mindful of your time as you're sharing. And who would like to share with a raise of hand, please?
Everybody's bashful.
Yeah, it'll get going here in a minute. Let's see. Ed, do you want to start us off? Okay. Joe, you want to start us off?
I'm an addict named Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Thank you very much, Ava. You reaffirmed a lot of the things that I've believed for quite a long time here now. I think it boils down to, I don't want to be the power of example. I want to be an example of the power, you know, and it shows up in how I live my life and how I interact with other people. You know, I phrase it kind of like, you know, looking to see who I want in my circle. I want to see how they treat kids and animals, you know, because that's a true test of what that person truly is. How they treat kids and animals is a real good indicator for me that it's somebody that I want in my circle. Because if they treat kids and animals correctly, nicely, and you know, with humility and compassion, they will more than likely do that with adults too. And so that's the kind of people I want to be around. Yeah. Thank you very much for your share, and that's about all I got for now. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, I'm Wayne. I'm an addict.
Hi, Wayne.
Hope everybody gets a little talkative here. I'm going to talk just a little bit. You know, I remember back when I first came around. I mean, I had a hard time understanding what Narcotics Anonymous was. You know, I was in Great Bend when I first came around. I wasn't sure whether I wanted to stay clean or if I just wanted the consequences and my family back. You know, and in turn, that happened in cycles for many years. And gratefully, my higher power gave me the grace to save my life and put me in my 15th year of prison. And somewhere in that time span, something happened, you know, and throughout them times of my recovery, it seemed like whatever my head was is what the type of people that I wanted to be around. I'm not real sure at that time whether I knew about the traditions, about the steps, but I knew that I wanted to change something. And throughout them times, my disease was so much in control, whether I was using or just abstinent at that time, always pulled me towards, and I seen the difference. I mean, I was smart even when I was trying to get clean. I was smart and I knew the good and the bad, you might say. And so I was always drawn toward the negative people, but I did see the real action happening, and it was trying, and it took a long time. And I believe that the process of recovery started first time I went to Narcotics Anonymous meeting in 1979. I didn't stay clean, but the process of somewhere where my higher power was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, and slowly but surely throughout the years of keep coming back, I started gravitating, and it was uncomfortable to be around somebody that was doing the right thing, working the steps and living in the traditions and being a role model in Narcotics Anonymous, because I didn't like the, my mind didn't want me to like them type of people because I was so rough around the edges. I didn't think I could be that way. But slowly but surely, I made myself follow these people around, especially after doing some years and years. Like, my gosh, they're at the end. It's like, well, all right, well, I guess this is just the cards I'm dealt, and I guess I'm just not honest enough with myself, or whatever it might have been to get clean. It ain't gonna work for me because I always thought I was so unique. And so when the process got deep enough, and that means I had to surrender, I started chasing these, and I mean chasing these people around. And I liked what you shared, man. I started really working the program and reading the steps and traditions, and I had a sponsor, and we read all 12 steps, just read them and talked about them for the first round. He said, try to start living that stuff. See you later, buddy. He said, try to start living that stuff. And at that time, when I understood that I had a message, I mean, I had a history and I had a message, and I was staying clean for another day. And the fifth tradition was, now I'm trying to act like these people. Hey, whether it was uncomfortable for a long while. Sometimes it still is. When I'm talking about making a U-turn on the street or whatever, I mean, it's un I try I don't do it, but I do it sometimes. But it is uncomfortable. But sometimes it's not uncomfortable, and that's the bad part, But so I had to start doing that, and when I went to meetings before, and when I go to meetings now, it's like a whole different atmosphere, but it's the same people doing the same thing. But it was all right here. My disease was so powerful that I couldn't think of a fifth tradition about being consistent. Hey, today, and I'm getting better. My mind's opening up a little bit, and I can get farther away than the town I live in. There for a while, man, I was living in a box in my recovery because fearful of getting out of that box and falling apart. And slowly but surely, as I realized what the base was, and I needed to get out and start working some things and showing that this program worked, I just thought I was, and at that time, I thought I was, I had a heck of a message. Everybody needed to hear my message. Well, come to find out, my message wasn't much different than everybody else's because I just thought I was so special, but I started mocking at first. Even in a share, sometimes I'd share what somebody else shared that touched my heart, at a meeting the next day that they weren't there, shared it word for word. Wasn't even my stuff. But I sure felt it. You know, I sure felt it, and soon it became me. You know, and I had to follow these people around and try to act like they are until, and I'm not perfect by far, but when I, at the meeting halls, when I chaired the meeting, I mean, we started first, and we ended at the time we're supposed to, and we try to keep it recovery oriented, and I try to set an example when I share. And I don't know if I'm setting a very good example because I think I've shared more than 5 minutes. But in a meeting, because nobody else's hand's up, but I'm getting ready to shut down. So I hope somebody raises their hand. In a meeting, I keep it, okay. I keep it about three to 4 or 5 minutes and then get my message across. Fifth tradition is valuable to me. Consistency in my life. I get up, I do a routine. I'm retired, so I have to stay in a routine, and that's my fifth tradition. You know, staying consistent in that, going to meetings when I go. So anyway, awesome. You did awesome, Ava. You touched my heart, and I could really shed a tear there a couple times throughout that, you know. All right. Thank you very much for allowing me to share. That's Robert, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey,
Hey,
Bobby.
Bobby.
Reach everybody. Ava, thank you so much. It's so close to home. I'm from Northern California. I'm a Kansas transplant.
Okay.
Every time I come out there, I go to meetings. Second Chance in Newark, California is where I attended my first Narcotics Anonymous
Ten
meeting.
minutes away from me.
Really?
I'm in Hayward.
Yay, area. That's so
Awesome.
awesome. Yep, I went to Santa Rita. Yeah, that's part of my story is the California aspect of it. But I try and go to a meeting wherever I go. I try and carry the message. I'm big on NA apparel. I don't have a personalized plate yet, but I do want to
Don't
thank you
get
for your
one.
Yeah.
thank you so much for your share. Love all you guys.
Thanks,
Braxton wants to
baby.
say hi.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm
buddy.
glad that we
Hi
hear at
there.
this meeting today.
We're
And
glad you're here.
I know that there's hope.
I'm glad you're here too, buddy.
Awesome.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you. Berta, are you there? Would you like to share a little bit? Tonya, would you like to share?
Hi there. My name's Tonya and I'm an addict.
Hi, Tonya.
I'm kind of wiped out, honestly, tonight, Wayne. So
Okay.
I don't have much to share, but I definitely want to thank Ava for a fantastic share and really grateful. I heard a lot of things that I loved hearing and I needed to hear. And I think I am going to get a personalized license plate because I need that kind of accountability, especially behind the
Yeah.
wheel. Yeah, and people will attest to that.
I tell you, it
So
works.
anyway, yeah, I really appreciate that so many of the things that you shared, and I appreciated what you shared too, Wayne. But I'm just feeling I got a headache and I'm feeling kind of wiped out, but I wanted to be here tonight and I'm really grateful that I am. So thanks for all of the work that you're doing to host this, Wayne, and putting this together. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony. Bertie, you must have heard me. Go ahead. Unmute yourself. Here, maybe I could do it. There, I asked you to unmute. There you
It
go.
did. Oh, thank you. Good Lord. I was struggling to I put my camera on, and
Hi,
I'm an addict. My name is Berta.
Hi,
Berta.
Berta.
And I appreciate you sharing, Ava. I thought that was awesome. You said something that I have said many times. I never called it a sponsor on the street, but I always found somebody to teach me where to go and how to cop and what to get, you know, and how to use it, you know. And like I got clean when I was real young, so it was okay then, right? I was a kid looking how to use. And so then I get into this program and all of a sudden I don't know how to ask people for help. It's one of the weirdest dichotomies of my life, for sure. But I wanted to say I love the fifth tradition. I love carrying the message. And I was really grateful. You know, I'm from Montana, and my home group literally started, my original home group literally started 3 months before I got here. And I was their first newcomer, and those people carried the message to me. I'm really grateful. And the only one of that batch that is still around is my husband. And I'd marry him and nail him down. But 38 years later, most of them are dead at this point. And that makes me sad. And that home group died. But I remember when that home group wasn't following traditions. And one of my friends and I, we really thought we knew what had to happen. So we got a resentment and a coffee pot, and we started my home group. It's still my home group today, you know, and my friend, Rick G, he's passed on. And, but it is this wonderful alternative. There's another meeting in town. There's, two or three or four other meetings in town. You know, Montana ain't that big, but like the big one, it's just, ugh, it's just too much. They ain't talking about, you know, they ain't talking about recovery. They ain't there to save their lives. They, you know, they're on their phone, they're in and out. They do all sorts of stuff, and it drives me insane. And, I'm so grateful that my home group isn't like that, and that a lot of the old timers in our town like to come to my home group. And I know that it's still carrying the message because newcomers come and they are like, oh my God, this is so different. This ain't like that other meeting. And we're like, yes, we know, you know, and a lot of people like that. They like having a social club, a dating service, whatever. But here's where you're going to find real recovery. You're going to find people who are talking about the program. We do a step study. We try to carry the message, you know, and we're kind and gentle with each other. We're not on our phones, and we're not fucking around while people are trying to save their lives. And I love that. I was at Markna, gosh, I think it was in 2013. It was the first time I'd ever been to Wichita, and it was quite some time ago. And I remember Ed there, old Ed. Jim Nance had just died, and I remember Ed telling me, Jim Nance, and I, you know, he said, Jim asked, do you think it's enough, Ed? 42 years. Do you think it's enough? And did we do enough? You know, and I think I love to tell his story. I love to tell Jim's story because he sold his fucking Harley to help pay for the basic tax. He used to round addicts up to give blood. He planted seeds, and Kansas is where my sponsor got clean and some of my best friends got clean. And he planted that message of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous for me. Somebody in Montana, a little girl in Montana, who 30 some years later, you know, would find Kansas Narcotics Anonymous and find my sponsor there and find a home there too. You know, I still live in Montana, but I do feel like Kansas is part of my home group, you know, cause that's where my sponsor is and my sponsorship sisters and my family. And I'm really grateful for that. And it was really wonderful during the pandemic when the Zoom meetings were happening and I could go to meetings with other people. And when I had, 32 years, not be the old timer in the room at all, you know, I loved that. And I still love it. And I don't know, I'm grateful for this program. And I'm grateful to be able to share. And thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you, Berta. Awesome share. Appreciate you. Let's see, I'm going to just kind of go around the room, I think. Jim, would you like to share a little bit? Okay. Daniel, do you want to share a little bit?
I'm Daniel. I'm an addict.
Hi, Daniel.
I have also had a long day, long week, long month. Doesn't seem to be getting any shorter around here. Busy. You know, I was thinking about this tradition all day, obviously, because we were planning this and had this coming up tonight. And you know, for me, it's like what I lacked in life before I came to Narcotics Anonymous was a sense of purpose. You know, I wanted to be needed. I wanted to be long. I wanted to be a part of something. That goes back to when I was a little boy, you know, that I didn't feel like there was any direction in my life. I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. I didn't feel like I belonged. I had no purpose. You know, and so what I found was, you know, our magic substitute, you know, we are all addicts who are men and women who are controlled by drugs, you know, and that's what happened to me, you know. And so when I got here and, you know, I wanted life to be something different. And what happened was, is Narcotics Anonymous intervened in that plan. And said, here's something different. Here's something you can have that will bring happiness, joy, freedom, and purpose to your life, you know, and without getting high. And it worked. You know, I always say, you know, like if somebody else would have stepped in that moment and said, here's the magic formula to smoke pot and never go to jail again or never have any consequences for your addiction, I probably would have taken it, you know. Or if somebody would have stepped in and said, here's a pill that'll cure you of all your bad behaviors, I probably would have taken two, because one's good, two's got to be better, you know. But instead, it was Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous was laid out in front of me, and this blueprint, like somebody else shared, of a way to live life. And so I find it, you know, like I get this purpose here. We all get a purpose here collectively. You know, it says that each group has but one primary purpose. So we only have, we not only just have a primary purpose, like this is the most important thing that we do, but it's also the only thing that we're supposed to focus on, you know, as a group, is to make sure that there's a message here for an addict to get, you know, for an addict to get clean. I love, you know, the simplicity of how they wrote it in the basic text, you know. If we had another purpose, you know, if we were a social group, many addicts would find friends and lovers, you know. And hey, some of us have done that, you know. It's definitely definitely on my list of many friends and lovers, you know. And or you know, if we focused on education, we'd have a lot of smart addicts. However, if we don't focus on helping addicts stay clean, then addicts die. You know, like that's the thing that rings through for me, is that if I don't make sure that I go to my home group and that I sit in that chair and I make sure that I'm a part of a meeting, that addicts die. You know, it's that simple. I just have to show up and be a part of. And then everything that we do has to be driven by that sense of purpose and that mission to more successfully carry the message to the addict that still suffers. And I know, you know, many of you know what I do for work and all the things that I've done in NA, but like everything is driven by that one thing, you know, knowing that there are addicts out there dying of this disease every day that may never hear a message in Narcotics Anonymous, and that hopefully someday we can get to them, you know, hopefully we can someday get to those cultures, those languages, those people that don't have the ability to hear our message now. You know, that's why I put a dollar in the basket. You know, I more than a dollar in a basket. That's why I do all the things that I do, you know. And today my life is filled with that purpose. On any given day, I talk to way more addicts than I talk to normal people. I talk to sponsees, I talk to other addicts in recovery, addicts that I work with, addicts that I live with. And sometimes it's just shooting the shit, you know, and in that, there's still a message of recovery, you know, in that there's still the ability, like I can live life today. And it doesn't have to be focused on active addiction, doesn't have to be focused on drugs. It doesn't have to always be about, you know, rainbows and butterflies and all the great things that Narcotics Anonymous has given me. Sometimes it's just, you know, I had lunch with a sponsee today. I don't think we talked about recovery, but maybe 3 minutes, you know, we talked about life. You know, we talked about the things that were going on in life. We talked about the things that we wanted to do in life. We talked about all the things that were going on in the news and in society and, you know, chuckled and joked and had humor and it was great, you know. It doesn't always have to be about, hey, when's the last time you picked up the pen and wrote on your step? You know, sometimes it's just about living and enjoying life, you know, and being in the moment and sharing that with somebody else and showing somebody else that I can be in the moment and share it with them, you know, that's how this thing works. I'm completely grateful to be here. I'm surprised that so many people fell off. I wish we were having more growth and not shrinking this meeting. Maybe next month it'll be different because it'll be on the third Thursday, and somehow that will, you know, we'll skip Thanksgiving, but we'll see. So glad to be here. Thank you, Ava, for sharing. Thank you for coming. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Wayne, for chairing the meeting.
Thank you, Daniel. Okay. Is there anybody else? We have still have 5 or so minutes. Is there anybody else that feels the need to share on the fifth tradition? Okay. So if everybody's okay, I'm going to go ahead and start the closing. Everybody all right with that? With a head nod? Okay. All right. Thanks all for a great meeting tonight. I appreciate Ava and everybody else that shared. Our next RSC meeting is coming up really soon, November 15th and 16th, with subcommittees. With subcommittees meeting Saturday and business meeting on Sunday. As you can see on the screen, there are many opportunities to get involved and be a part of service to the region. We could sure use some help in carrying the message of throughout our region. So if you are around and you want to go there, please show up and be a part of that. We also have a convention. Planning is underway for Martina 41. The dates of the convention are April 24th through the 26th, 2026. It will be held at Topeka, Kansas at the Hotel Topeka. There are many opportunities for service in the convention committee also, and even opportunities to be a general member, which only has clean time requirement of 60 days. So get your sponsees. We need some people. We also have a camp out that needs help. We're just starting that committee up. We need some people. The camp out is in July. That will be here before we know it. It's a great time to get involved. So Camp out committee meets on Saturday at Region. We also meet some intern meetings, and we also meet on Zoom. And we are looking for, we have, I think we have a, oh gosh, I think, no wait, service, I think is going to be our theme. So we are looking for some artwork on that for November. And then, join us again next month for the sixth tradition. This will be on November 20th. Mark your calendar at 7 o'clock Central Time. If you have feedback for the format of this meeting or would like to suggest any speakers, feel free to get a hold of Daniel and let us know. We can give him a call and try to make that happen. And then in closing, Brad S. is going to be our next speaker on number six. In closing, thanks all again for attending. We hope to see you all back next month. Ava, again, thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
And feel free to join in if you want to next month. Same Zoom number and same password. And then I might even send you the next month's flyer somewhere in there if you're around and about. So we're going to close with a moment of silence followed by a third step prayer. Feel free to unmute if you'd like. Whose gratitude?
My gratitude speaks when I care, when I share, others help my way, take my will on life, I make others show her.
You go, Braxton. Yay.
Love you guys.
All Love right. Thank you. See you later.
Thank you. All right. We'll see you, Ava. Awesome.
Can we bring your cat?
All right.